people for the next bunch of months on Sunday morning, going through good news about Jesus through Mark, and doing the same thing on Wednesday nights. We take the same passage and look at it a little different on Wednesdays, and we're thankful for how the Lord changed many lives through Mark. Just a little review. Mark, first part of the New Testament ever written, first gospel, and 25 pages on the whole ministry of Jesus. Mentioned last week that if you were to have a group of people who are writers and think, you know, who can we pick who's fantastically excellent, who great experience in writing, who could write the gospel of Mark, nobody would pick Mark. Okay, Mark wouldn't pick Mark, but the Lord picks Mark and inspires him, and he gives us the absolute truth of God there. So we're thankful for lives changed through this really good gospel. Years ago, a man named Alex Ferguson, who was a manager of Manchester United soccer team. Now, I've never seen them even play soccer, but apparently they were like the Pittsburgh Steelers of soccer in Europe. Okay, Manchester United. And this guy was their manager for 27 years, a long time, running the whole team. Very well-respected man. He said this before he retired: I've devoted my entire life to soccer, and everything has been thrown overboard for it. So we know where his focus is. We know where his heart is there. It's soccer all the way. And you might think, oh, that's an odd thing to give your life to. But all of us have said that same sentence in our soul at one time or another. And really, if we're thoughtful at all, we do that every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through Sunday. You know, devote my heart and life to this, and everything else will be set aside or thrown overboard. I'm going to give you three common confessions of devotion that sometimes people get into, and see how these four fishermen, they made their commitment, and so did the guy who had a devil in his life. You know, they all made a big switch from what they were devoted to. And a similar thing the Lord says, come follow me in the same way. One thing we get devoted to, I've devoted everything I have to my personal happiness. Everything else has been thrown overboard. Okay. Now that's a very shallow way to live, but it's offered, when you think of it, by the world around us and even by our own self-centeredness. So it's kind of a lack of responsibility to others when you think that. Or do you feel yourself responsible to help others? That's part of our Christian calling. If we don't do that, we're probably into their own personal happiness. Here's another one. I've devoted everything I have to my family and work. That's a more respectable devotion. And, of course, family and work are wonderful gifts. But if we put family and work first, sadly, we end up destroying ourselves and family and work, because those things were never supposed to be the main part of who we are. Okay, work didn't create us, our families, our blessings, you know, but they are under God. And so to put them under God is the answer, not to have them first. And the third one, which is kind of more recent, I've devoted everything to not being devoted to anything. Okay, I don't know if you get into that occasionally. View of the world that says everything is up for grabs, everything's accidental, only what happens right now is what's important. I'm kind of a chemical accident waiting to find, you know, where I'm supposed to land, and really I'm only concerned for my own safety. And that's a shallow and short-lived thing. But in Mark chapter 1, four men hear Jesus, and they decided to throw something overboard and just be devoted to him. Wow, that's really something. And first to do that, Peter and Andrew, they're brothers. They're running a fishing company, you might say. Jesus says to them, come follow me. And at once they left the net and followed Jesus. If too bad Annette, our custodian, wasn't out of here, because I was going to use her as an example. They left the net, followed Jesus. See, the net was not that. It's not what it says. They left the nets and followed Jesus. Jesus goes a little further. Two brothers and a dad in a boat, some other workers. Maybe this is a bigger operation for James and John. Okay, and Jesus calls them. And without delay, they leave their dad and the workers in the boat, and they go to follow Jesus. Now, these are four tough guys making a living at work. They walk right out of work. They put their whole life in the hands of the Messiah. All right. Now, in our soul, God calls us to do that. Not in the middle of your work day, probably. At least wait till the end of the day, okay, to make this big change for your fellow workers there. But have you done that in your soul? Say, okay, I know I'm devoted to something really, really strongly. Could be myself, my work, my family. Could be doing nothing. That looks attractive occasionally. But Jesus says, come follow me. Be devoted to me. And don't throw everything overboard, because when you follow me, you'll rearrange the things in your life that are gifts from me. One thing about following Jesus, he doesn't call you to run away from the world and just be concerned about you and him. Okay, he actually sends you to the world. He says, now take this good news and pass it on. Follow me, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. So putting your devotion to the Lord actually expands your responsibility to the present world. Okay, you are really in tune. You want to see God honored. You recognize that the things are passing away that are not of God, but the things that are of God, you know they're going to advance. So he says, follow me, and he says that to us. He's very patient, persistent in God, in his call to our soul. We don't always respond immediately like these four fishermen did. You think of the Old Testament, prophet Samuel. God called him four times, and then finally he responds. Samuel's about to go to sleep. You never know when God's going to get your attention. And God says, Samuel, and Samuel goes to Eli. What do you want? I heard you. It's not me. Eli says, happens again. The fourth time, Eli says, I think God's trying to tell you something. And so Samuel says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And we want to have that heart to God on a regular basis. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. A good way to face trials. Lord, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? It's a good way to face a boring Monday. Okay. Or even a worship service where you're having a hard time connecting with God. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Okay. I want to hear your voice in the midst of a troubled world. And Jesus said the news that he would bring, the kingdom of God, he would change lives. And you think of the four lives changed plus one. Okay, we don't know what happened to the man who had a devil in his life, but we know he didn't have the devil in his life at the end of the story. Jesus took care of that. So you think of the worst trouble you could think of, the worst evil we could think of in your own heart. Jesus could say, get that out of there. And he can help you with that. And you can, that won't be a problem for you anymore. You know, with the Lord's help. Then the four fishermen who ended up following Jesus very imperfectly, but leaned on him with a definite direction. So he calls the five men. He calls you and I, says, repent and believe the good news. So we think about repentance with me a little bit. Repentance is a part of the good news. Okay. Repentance, when I first heard of it, and still sometimes, I get afraid of repentance. Because that means I'm going to have to do something different or think differently than I am now. But this is what the Lord does to our soul. Obedient things. Don't be rebellious or self-centered. And the God's word says there's joy in heaven when just one of us repents. You like to increase the praise of heaven? We could do that. Repent. Say, Lord, what are you telling me to follow you more closely about and to do that? Repentance is a radical change of heart, mind, and direction. That's what these four guys did, plus the fifth one. Radical change of heart, mind, and direction. Last summer, I wanted to make a superficial change in my mind, So I attempted to do this kind of, it was a birthday gift thing. Strangest birthday gift I ever gave myself. It was to join Lumosity. Have you seen Lumosity advertised on TV? You get on the computer, which is a scary thing right off the bat, and then you play these games on the computer. It's almost like playing Pac-Man, only with more fancy grids. And if you play these games enough, they say, you'll be smarter. So I wanted to put it to the test. You'd let me know if it worked, okay? But so I joined Lumosity, and I started getting really good. And then it turns out you can actually submit your score and see how you're doing compared to the rest of the nation in your same age group. And I was in the 10th percentile at the bottom, okay? So Lumosity was not working. I said, this is not working. I'm getting out of this. But I was looking for a change in my mind, more sharpness, more concentration. Jesus was more interested in having my mind be more like His. Okay, there's an old prayer, to think God's thoughts after Him. So what's God thinking of? I want to be thinking of the same things or see things from the same perspective. Change of heart and mind and soul. And God brings that change. He helps us repent. And you and I always have something to repent of. Billy Graham said one time, on the last hour of his life, he plans on repenting from something. You know, and that's quite a testimony. Oh, Lord, I want to be different, even in this last hour, to trust you in a way I haven't, to bless somebody that I have not, to pray for somebody that I have not. That's a boy. What he'll be working till the last, his last conscious moment, and we could also. So God calls us to put all our hopes and dreams, put the important things in our life, our marriage, under the feet of Jesus, relationships, work, church. We're devoted to the one Jesus, and we put all those things under His kingly care. Okay, because He's King. So the Lord changes us, and He's the only one who could change our mind, our soul, the direction of our life, and our strength. And He's the only one, of course, who could save us. He's our Savior, our Sustainer, and our source of anything good that's going to happen. Don't underestimate Jesus. So what was Jesus' message to these four men besides repent? So important. He proclaims the good news. He says, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Just a little about God's kingdom. You know, that's going to come in its fullness when Jesus returns. But it began to show itself when Jesus, the King, showed up the first time. So this passage here is about His first coming, not His second coming. So He says, the kingdom of God is near. Some translation says, kingdom of God is here or has arrived. And the kingdom is there because the King is there, Jesus. And God's kingdom is His rule in the hearts of and lives of people. So it's exciting to think that God's working history and your personal history for His honor. Okay, He's the King of what's going on. And He's worth following. And it's important to follow Him with joy and to see what He's doing around us. May have used this illustration before, but I like it. If you took a big canvas and spread it across the sanctuary here, and God painted that canvas, there would be obviously a lot of blessings on it. There would be the cross, where He won redemption for us. It'd be maybe a representation of the living Savior, the Spirit sent, creation, beautiful picture, people made in God's image. You'd say, man, what? What a wonderful group of work that God does. In that canvas also, there would be a huge spot of dirt. Okay. Now, if you went up to the spot of dirt and you got your face about right here and you just looked at that dirt and somebody said, what's on that canvas? You'd say, I only see dirt. It's just a bunch of garbage, you know. In the whole world, that's all it is. It's garbage. It's what I'm looking at. But of course, you and I at that point would fail to see what God is doing across the world in our lives on behalf of others. God's busy today feeding how many? 7 billion people. He's busy doing it. He's busy loving those people. If they don't get the food, that's because people were hoarding it. You know, I need the 3 hamburgers. You don't get a half. That type of thing. So, God doing work throughout the world. Missionary experts tell us every day 100,000 people across the world come to Christ. 100,000. Wow. God is doing great work. If you took a ride now, anywhere between now and 11 o'clock in a 2-mile radius of this building, what would you see? Where would most of the cars be in terms of gathering at any rate? Okay. Parking lots, fairly full, even in a day and age where, people don't seek the Lord like they used to. That's true. But parking lots, fairly full down the road. Savior Lutheran, go a little further. Zion Lutheran, St. Agnes, Nazarene, Circleville Methodist, Calvary Baptist, Calvary Assembly, Norwin Christian. A lot of people seeking God. Jesus saying the kingdom of God is here. Okay, he's calling people. Whether they respond or not, if they say no, that's the Lord. That's their problem with the Lord. So he rules in the hearts and lives of people. and he'll be persistent with it in our own souls. Even more like Samuel. 4 times, he'll keep coming with an invitation. Repent. Follow me. I can help you help others, make you fishers of men. And by the grace of God, we could say, I've devoted my life to Jesus first. I could be like these 4 fishermen. They were dirty, but they had a new life with God. Jesus called them and Jesus would clean them. And that's how we are. He calls us. He cleans us. He keeps cleaning us. We put everything under his feet. And then when people say, why are you so interested in Jesus? I see you reading that Bible. I see you going to a church. I see you being around other believers. Why do you follow his ways? You say, well, he's the king. And the king saved my life. He saved my soul from sin, death, and hell. That's what Peter and Andrew, James and John would say, and maybe even the guy who got the devil kicked out of his life. We are glad to be with him. And we would say, come and meet our king. He has a crown. Our king has a crown. Happens to be a crown of thorns. And he also has scars on his hands and side and feet. And he got those scars fighting for us. He's a wonderful king. He rose from the dead. And we're really, really glad just to say, oh my, it's good to put everything under him. To be like that soccer guy, only put Jesus right in the middle. I've devoted my life to, you don't have to say it blowing your trumpet, but you say it in your soul to God. With his help, I devote my life to Christ, and everything has been put under him. You'll feel a lot of joy in your soul as you do that. Make that a part of your daily testimony. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these 5 men who you changed. You happened to approach them, and even this morning, we probably say, well, I've devoted my life to leading worship here, and that's really important. And Jesus says, wait a minute. You devote your life to me, and then put all the other under Jesus' care. So might your kingdom grow in our soul, might your kingdom grow around us because we see friends and neighbors turning to you. We pray for them, we love them, and then on the mission field, the same message. So help us to hear your call, Lord, every day in our lives. It's exciting to think we get to follow you. And as we mentioned before, we don't hear anybody else calling us. to that we're impressed with. We don't hear the Hindu gods calling us or the Muslim God, or even our selfishness is a weak call. But your call is strong, and so we say yes to you and want to be clean from you every day. Love your dear people this week with good news of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.